So would you like to have your Bibles open at Galatians chapter 5? I'm only reading now these very last verses because we've covered so much of this life by the Spirit, but we've come to the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So we're looking closely at the 22nd verse, taking one piece at a time. And it's, of course, as I have been stressing, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the harvest of the Holy Spirit of God. It is true to say that the world is able to manifest love and joy and peace and forbearance and gentleness and self-control and all of these things. But not in this way, because Paul so specifically says it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is the working of an extraordinary love and an extraordinary self-control and an extraordinary peace and an extraordinary joy, because the third person of the Holy Spirit makes it. He produces it in the life of a believer. So never mix up in your minds. Someone said to me just recently, think of the kindness and love and the benevolence of someone like Mother Teresa. Yes, but if she had no faith in Jesus Christ as her only Savior and was trusting in the Pope and the Church of Rome and in works and the Virgin Mary, then what is she to offer? Not by the power of the Holy Spirit. That can never be. Never mix up these two in your minds. It is so specific, Paul says, it is the fruit of the Spirit. Now we've moved slowly, I know that, but purposefully. And now we come to the subject of forbearance. The 2011 version of the NIV, which I'm reading from at the moment, has forbearance. The earlier version of the NIV had patience. In fact, almost all Bible versions have for this word patience. I think the Authorized Version has long-suffering. But Moffat, who I'm quite keen, you know, to quote from, he has it very interestingly. He has it like this. He has it as good temper. Now, isn't that very interesting? The fruit of the Spirit is patience or good temper. It's this Greek word, makrothumia or makrothumos. Forbearance is the way we express it. Long-suffering or patience. Look how very expressive we have it in English. When we speak of someone who doesn't have or does not possess these qualities, we say they've got a short fuse. We think of them as a stick of dynamite, ready to go off at any moment. We say that they are short-tempered. Now, don't you find it interesting that we never speak of anyone as being long-tempered? Did you ever speak of anyone as being long-tempered? Of course you didn't. We don't have it in our language. But makrothumos, makro is this word long, and thumos is temper. It is quite literally to be long-tempered. The fruit of the Spirit is to be long-tempered. The Spirit of God in a person's life produces long temper. Isn't that wonderful? You know I don't spend my time here rubbishing Bible versions. I've never done it. I'm never going to do it. I'm not an expert in languages, Greek or otherwise. How could I begin to do it? But aren't we thankful for so many helpful translations of the Bible that give us here forbearance or patience or long-suffering or long temper? So when you think about patience, again, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. When you think about it, will you remember this word? You'll remember it because you'll remember someone you know who's got a short temper. And then you'll be able to think, ah, do I have a long temper? Well, that captures it perfectly. Now, I've chosen three areas where this grace of long temper might be seen. First of all, in events, because our lives are eventful. So surely long-temperedness has to do with the events in our lives. And then, of course, long-temperedness with regard to people, because it's people with whom we most have to do. And then, of course, long-temperedness with regard to God himself. Now, macrothumos is a great medicine. And I want to put it to you like this morning. Do you think you need, are you in need of medicine? Are you in need of macrothumos, long-tempered medicine with regard to the events of life? Now look, it's no point saying that we're only little people, we're of no moment here. Of course, none of us are lords or ladies or important officials or anything of that kind. But nevertheless, our lives are just as much full of the events of life. And sometimes the events of life, they run at such a pace that we can't keep up with them. And we find at times that we're unable to get on top of things. We wish that things would stand still, but they don't. And what happens is we become impatient. We become short-tempered. And in turn, what happens, a huge quarrel wells up within the soul. The Proverbs say, the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And it's easy to take that proverb and apply it to my duty to others. What about now just taking it with regard to yourself? What about taking it and saying, the one who is patient calms a quarrel. What about the quarrel that goes on within each and every one of our lives? What about being patient? What about being long-tempered with the events regarding my own life? How much quarrelling goes on within the hearts of people, day in and day out, regarding my job. Things haven't fallen in pleasant places quite right at the moment. And a quarrel rises up within the heart. What about my health? Or what about relationships? Or a problem with someone? And the soul goes into a quarrelsome state. And people lose patience. And patience then isn't the mark of their lives. I say to all of those who will marry, who are believers, who are in the Lord, they must marry in the Lord. Because the scriptures say so. Not because Trinity Evangelical Church says so or I say so, but because the scriptures say so. You must marry in the Lord. Be patient. Be long-tempered with regard to this matter. Believe the Lord's will for you. And be patient. The one who is patient, listen, calms a quarrel. How many people have quarreled within their hearts about that young woman or that young man? He, you were a believer. She wasn't. I must have her. I must be with her. And this quarrel, patience, long-temperedness will calm it. And I love the definition by R.C. Trench, that great theologian. He says this about patience. It's a long holding out of the mind. A long holding out of the mind before it gives room to action or to passion. That's it. A long holding out of the mind before it gives room to passion or to action or to words. How many people might have saved themselves before they rushed to words or to actions if they had had this long holding out of the mind? The The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he turned to me. He heard my cry, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Are you in the middle of stormy events? Almost all of us at some point in life are in the middle of stormy events. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Where's that gone? Where has that gone in the life of believers, the fruit of the Spirit? I waited patiently for the Lord. I'm not having a go at anyone when I say this. I'm just offering a word of advice. Here's a young couple. Here's a young man or a young woman. They must have a certain salary by a certain time. Oh, who said so? They must be on the housing ladder by a... Who said so? Who did this? I ask you. By the way, prior to Mrs. Thatcher's government ever coming into power, most people rented their houses and didn't buy them. It's a societal thing. It's just foisted on us and suddenly it's become right. And do you know you even find it among Christians? It's right to do this. You may have your opinion, but actually what you should be with regard to this, every single one of you, you should be indifferent. Don't put pressure on young people to have a certain salary by a certain time. I am such a one who never earned proper money until he was 35. There are young people here who may not earn a great salary until 5 years, 10 years' time. Leave them alone. Don't put pressure on them. Let them be patient. Let them learn patience. I must be on the housing ladder. Who said so? Who did this except society? And actually, by the way, the last time I looked at society, it was, as the scripture said, a godless one in the hands of the evil one. Be careful that you don't take up as being a rule of life those things that were just laid down by an evil, godless society. And I'm not against anyone owning a house or having a mortgage or having a good salary. I just don't care. But I say this. Don't press people, especially young people, that they must be this. Because all it will be mud and mire. What does the psalmist say? I waited patiently for the Lord. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Someone wants to have a child. Wonderful. But barrenness sometimes comes. How sad. Things don't work out. What about patience? Or is it all down to science? Here are the events of life. The events of life seem to conspire against us and we don't get what we want when we want it. And Christians can't bring themselves to actually show the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. It's a long holding out of the mind. A long holding out of the mind. And do you know, most of us, in life, we will be tested one way or another. And it will be the test of whether we have faith in the Lord and whether we are willing to be patient and to wait upon him for him to work in his good time. Look, I'm preaching, but it's not just to fill the time. I'm trying to be helpful. I mean it. I want to be helpful to everyone. Most of you know what I do for a living. I don't do this for a living. This is my other job. But I've got a job that I do every day and every night. Day and night. Never seems to end. And it demands immense patience. It demands an ability to be long-suffering. I must suffer long and long and long. And believe it or not, mostly the things that I do go wrong. They don't go right. And I hold a conversation with me. Most people who came to my studio would think, has that man gone mad? Call for someone to have him taken away. I talk to myself. Of course I do. And one of the things that I'm most distressed by after all my years as a painter is my lack of patience. But if I don't get on top of it, then everything will fall to the ground, all my efforts and all my endeavours. It will all be a lot of mud and mire. But patience works, and it works, and it works. And I would say over the lifetime of my work, it has been this one thing. And I've had to struggle with it and work at it and go back every day and be patient and be patient and be patient and be patient. And someone may have looked into their life and peered at it, as it were, into the future. Be careful if there is a lack of patience, that it does not lead to mud and mire. Remember, your lens may be dull and it may not be clear, but God's lens is crystal clear. Be patient and wait for him whose lens, whose sight of the future and all of the events regarding your life are known unto him. Be patient with the Lord and defer to him. And in his time he will reward you. Think of this: a hasty man destroys his own happiness and often the happiness of others. I just say one last thing about events. They're all the events in the life and the history of a church. And I'm long enough in the tooth to have seen the events in the life of the church. How good patience would be to us if we were willing and ready to be long-tempered and show the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. What about people? Not events, but people. Good temper, long-suffering means something like this: a spirit which never loses patience with people or hope for people. Let me just start with ourselves just for a minute. Book stand. Who can see Postman's book? Are you at the back, Josh? See Postman's book? Is it there? It must be there. It was there. Has someone just bought Postman's book? Amusing ourselves to death. Has someone taken it? How dare you? Well, it was there. It's gone. Someone's taken it. All right, never mind. Patience with learning. Patience with learning. How important is this? How often I've heard it put to me like this: I can't get to grips with these difficult Bible doctrines. They're so hard, and I've just given up on them. I'm frustrated. Hey, hold on a minute. This is a quarrel going on with yourself. You'll get to grips with it if you're willing to be patient. Someone recently said in one of our Bible studies, a question came up like this: what if people don't understand the words that we use? And someone said, get a dictionary. Hello? Get a dictionary. And then someone said to me this week, you're still going by the old system of books and pages, Andrew. So when I find a word that I don't understand, I go to the dictionary. And one of the things I find is I'm fighting with myself, quarrelling with myself. I haven't got the time, I haven't got the patience to pour through the dictionary to find this word. And this person said to me, I can look at it on an electronic gadget, on a telephone, on an iPad, on the computer. I can do it twice as quick as you can. Well, there you are, you've got no reason to not look it up in a dictionary. Be patient. But you can see now, can't you, how patience has to do with laziness. People are lazy and they're not patient, and therefore they say, I can't understand justification by faith. Sure you can. I'm patient enough to be willing to teach you. You'll be patient enough to be willing to be the pupil and listen. I don't understand the great and glorious doctrines of the sovereign grace of God, his election and predestination. I'll never understand it. Oh, these are the same people who sit at desks and pore over mathematics all day, and science and biology and chemistry. Sit down and be patient. The God of heaven, in his word, he will teach you. The reason why I asked for Postman's book is because I've encouraged and encouraged people to read it, amusing ourselves to death. You'll never read a more important book. He wasn't a Christian. You'd be forgiven if you read it for thinking he was, but he wasn't. But how vital. If I could get everyone to read one book today, it would be Amusing Ourselves to Death by Bosman. People say it's very difficult to read. Be patient. Give yourself to it. Somebody said to me this week, I started it, I've been plowing through it, and I got halted, but I've gone back to it, and I've gone back to it, and I'm going back to it, and I'm going to finish it. That's patience. There's a Jewish saying, an irritable man cannot teach, and equally, an irritable man cannot learn. Are we irritable and lacking in the fruit of the Spirit regarding patience? Let me very quickly tell you that patience with others touches on things like forgiveness. Just listen to this. This is what the Proverbs say. A person's wisdom yields patience. A person's wisdom yields patience. The Authorized Version puts it like this. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. There are just so many people who can't pass over a transgression. Patience very often has to do with forgiveness. A willingness to be forgiving, not just jump on people. I'm not saying that people don't need discipline, of course they do, but not just jumping on everybody immediately that something goes wrong. When it comes to wrongs committed, what a pity that we are unwilling to be patient. Just look at Galatians 6 verse 1 if you want a confirmation of that. You'll see it at the beginning of chapter 6. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Be patient. You go away, you come back, your kids are teenagers, there's a hole in the carpet. Hey, what do they say? Well, I didn't burn the joint down. No. Be patient with them. Try to remember. Try to remember. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a student, in my madness one night, working away, not realising what time it was, tired, and I don't know, half two, three in the morning, I decided to cut a piece of paper up on the carpet, and I didn't have a drawing board under it, and I just sliced straight through the carpet. It was one of those Koya carpets with a Stanley knife blade. And then, having to show the landlady after I'd sewn it together with bits of thread to try and make the best of a dreadful job. So I've been there, I've done it, have patience with me. Young people do the maddest things, of course they do. Be patient with the young people, particularly in the life of the church. But also it has a bearing on fellowship and friendship in the life of the church. It says this in the Proverbs, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. So with regard to friendship and fellowship, you can calm a quarrel by patience. It's like this, that if you're not patient, you press the trigger of the gun and people end up dead. And there's blood everywhere. It destroys fellowship. It destroys friendship. Be patient. If you show forbearance and control, and you have it at your fingertips, you'll be surprised at what great good it will do with friendship and fellowship. And I can't stress this too much. Stop your fingers. You say, oh, it's easy for you. You've never sent a text message or used the keys. No, I haven't. Stop yourself. Stop your fingers in that moment from pressing the keys and sending the text message or going on the internet. Stop yourself. Now, this is authority, what I'm going to say now. Stop yourself from using Facebook, whatever that thing is. I've heard about it. Stop yourself. Stop yourself from picking up the phone and making that phone call. Stop yourself, and this relates to me, from picking up a pen and a piece of paper. Wait a few days. Wait a week. Wait a few weeks if necessary. Be long-tempered and you will find that fellowship and friendship will probably be prospered. In these things, there will be true and lasting and real joy. But if we're hot-tempered with our mouths, we can never produce the fruit of the Spirit. Time's gone. I've come to the very last point just to tell you about makrothumos with regard to God. He's short-tempered. He's long-tempered. If you ask me, why should I be like this? Because God is like this. If you want to ask me, why should I seek to manifest more than anything this fruit of the... Because God is like this. The Old Testament description of God is like a refrain. We had it in Jonah. We have it in Exodus. We have it elsewhere. Just listen to it. It's like a refrain. It crops up here and there and everywhere in the Old Testament. It's quite beautiful. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. And don't you know that it was precisely this that Jonah found so hard to grasp? It was this that he had to be made to realize about God. It was this that is so hard for him to learn, and for us is also hard to come to a grasp of. God is long-suffering. He is long-tempered. He is willing to be patient. He is slow to anger. And if I levy pressure upon all of you this morning, I can do it in a moment and say to you, don't you like it for yourselves with regard to you that God is long-tempered, that he is patient? Why do you not like it then with regard to others? I want God to be long-tempered with all. This means, of course, and I want to quickly tell you something, it means that he waits for people to be repentant. Repentance is linked to God's patience. Isn't that beautiful? He is waiting on people to be repentant. He is patiently waiting. Do you know that you would have quit with you a long time ago? Well, wouldn't you? Would you have quit with you ages ago? Yes, but God hasn't, and he doesn't, and his patience is towards sinners. Are you a sinner this morning? Yes, of course you are. And he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he still waits, and he waits for you to be repentant, and repentance is linked to God's patience. We can see that, of course, in 2 Peter. The apparent delay in the Lord's coming again is nothing else but his excuse to be patient and wait for people to be repentant. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. What did we read? His long suffering means salvation. God's long suffering means salvation. Or God's long-suffering brings salvation. Now, for myself, I must say this. I say, Lord, come quickly. Don't delay. Lord, return. Come today. Come tomorrow. Lord, come back. Come soon. And on the other hand, I say, Lord, wait another day. Come another month, Lord. Come another year. Come in another century's time. so that, Lord, there might be time. There might be room for repentance. There might be yet one more person who does not know their right hand from their left, Lord, that they might come to repentance and that your patience might be extended to that person. And as an application, I just say to everyone who is a true Christian, what urgency then regarding repentance and patience is pressed upon everyone regarding the matter of witness and evangelism and prayer and the prayer meeting. And I'm going to just press this on all of you, not to hit you with a big stick, but to try to reason with you. God is not wanting anyone to perish, because we read it. He's patient. He is patient. He calls his people to pray. He says, I'm patient. Will you pray for them? And people say, I can't be bothered to pray. I haven't got time to pray. I've got so many other things to do. Listen to me. The end comes. The end comes for that husband, that mother, that uncle, that aunt, that cousin. The end comes for that son or that daughter. It comes, and the day of judgment must press upon that person. Yes, but did you work the hardest that you could work for them in prayer? Believing that God was being patient, holding out his gracious hand to the lost and saying, come to me, come to me. Do you know what? We have made a god out of speed in our day. And if things won't just happen like that, right at this moment, when I want them to happen, then I won't continue with it. I won't come to the prayer meeting and come for 15 years and pray for one person. Be patient. Knock on the door and beat it down. Lord, open the door for that person. James teaches this, that we are to be like the farmer who sows the seed and then watches throughout the slow months until there is a harvest and that harvest comes. Pray and pray without ceasing. Why? Because God bears the refusals of sinful mankind, of rebellious human beings in patience, and me knowing his patience as I do. Because he's been so patient with me, knowing his patience. I appeal to his patience in prayer. What do I believe? I believe that God has not abandoned the world that he has created, but in patience he's reaching out to it continuously so that men and women might be saved. People lose heart. There's no doubt about that with regard to the prayer meeting. Spurgeon said that the church that was the Metropolitan Tabernacle would never have been what it was apart from the prayer meeting. In fact, you could say the church was the prayer meeting. Thousands were saved. Thousands. The church is the prayer meeting. The people who will come together and pray and cry out to Almighty God for his mercy to sinful people, knowing that he is patient. Here is the point. God is patient. I'm relying on him. I'm relying on his patience that in his good time, I'm going to be personal now because I might touch your hearts. I'm relying on his patience in his good time that he will save all of my grandchildren. And I'm not going to give in until he saves them by his grace. No chance. I'm working on the basis of his patience. I'm depending on his patience. Completely. And because I know he's patient, I'm going to be patient. I keep coming to the prayer meeting and mentioning the names of the young people and the children and crying out to Almighty God and asking him graciously to come and bring repentance and bring faith and bring salvation in Jesus Christ. And he does do. I ask all of you, can you not be that patient? The fruit of the Spirit, by the way, is love, joy and peace, patience. If you love someone, come and pray for them. Come and pray for them. We have a prayer meeting here every Tuesday night. Come and pray for them. Appeal to God's patience for that person's life. Because if there was a day, friends, when that person's life was lost and gone into eternity without salvation in Jesus Christ, and you would not appeal to the patience of God for them, you would rue that day. You would regret it for the rest of your lives. This is a means of me to appeal to everyone to come and pray. Because prayer works. God answers prayer because he is so patient. Look at what he is like. And believing this as I do, I then expect there to be a harvest in God's time. God, fill the church with the hope and the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience.